Let's go to the book of Colossians again tonight, if you will. We have spent the majority of our time in chapter 1, but then we looked at chapter 2 briefly last night, and now chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, if you will go there in the Word of God, Colossians chapter 3. It's already been a blessing being in God's house tonight.
Amen.
Praise His name. I'm going to read the first 5 verses of the chapter. And that'll be the text for this evening. Let me introduce you to that word text. It'll take 2 or 3 minutes to explain it. If I'm going to go hear a preacher, I want him to have a Bible text. I'm not interested in his opinions. They may be good, but that's not what I went for. I'm not interested in being entertained, neither. I'm not interested in the politics. I'm not interested in the psychology. Get me a Bible text. That's an interesting word, text. I looked it up one day. It has a Latin background. Our word text, my text tonight, Colossians 3, 1 through 5. The Latin word is textus. T-E-X-T-U-S. Textus. Pray tell, what does textus mean, Brother Bagwell? It's what it means in Latin. Listen, something woven. Brother Bagwell, I don't get that. See if I get an amen. That coat right there has been woven. Textus. In our area, a little further south too, it boomed for a while, not so much anymore, was the textile industry. What in the world did they do? They was in the weaving business. Threads and cloth and material, textus. In keeping with that definition, my text tonight, Colossians 3, 1 through 5. Hope I get a name. There's been a weaver at work in my text. A holy weaver has been at work in my text. They tell me I'm not smart enough to figure it out. This woven garment has some threads going up and down vertically. It also has some threads going from side to side, horizontally. And they have figured out a way to make the vertical and the horizontal all mesh together, and it's become a very serviceable coat for me as I stand here and preach the Word of God. I'm leading up to something. In our text tonight, in our woven Bible material tonight, I'm pretty sure the Holy Ghost is going to have some threads that go up and down, that go vertical, that will teach us how to better, I'm going to need an amen, how to better love our Father in heaven up this way. And I'm also believing that the same weaver, the same Holy Ghost, is going to have some thread going this way, from the right to the left, and we'll learn how to better love one another. One another. It's a beautiful thought. Just thought I might share it as I announce my text. You watch for the threads that go that away. Then you watch for the threads that go this away. And may we leave tonight amazed. May we leave tonight amazed at the beauty of the Word of God, and at the ability of the grand weaver. Hallelujah. You have read so far. You've read more than this, but have been accounted 1,000, 203 chapters from the book of Colossians. And that doesn't count today. You'll never, see if I get an amen, you'll never go wrong reading the Word of God. I tell you what I believe, and there are wiser men than me here tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if you got God's people reading the Word. I mean over and over and over again. I wouldn't be surprised that revival could break out just cause God's Word cut loose real good. Thank God for the preaching. Thank God for the music. Thank God for everything that goes into it. But the Word of God is the spark that brings revival. Thank you for reading, Will. Maybe add to that if I can get through preaching in time. First five verses of Colossians 3. Have y'all got it open in your Bibles? Amen. I got it enlarged and glued on my poster board. I'll read it from here. You follow along if you will. Verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. Y'all want to do something before I read? You weren't too sure you wanted to do that, I don't believe. Maybe I needed to signal it. Why do we stand and answer that in honor to the Word of God? If, boy, there's a lot hinges on those words, if somehow. If ye then be risen with Christ, whoever heard of such? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Above. What's so special about above? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what makes above so special. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Anybody believe that? Yes. With Christ in God. We're hidden. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, and there's more preaching here and I'll get done. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Anybody believe he's going to appear one of these? Yes. Then, when he appears, then shall ye also appear with him. With him. In glory. Wow. Verse 5, it's my last verse to read. Mortify. That is a verb and it's in the imperative mood. It is a stark command. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. There's some things that's got to go. Can't tolerate them in our Christian life. If our heart and affection set on things above. Here's a list. Paul loves lists. Fornication. Wouldn't think you'd have to talk much about that anymore. Don't know if y'all have heard about it. It's made a comeback. There's a day you'd never have to mention fornication in a godly meeting. Fornication, comma, uncleanness, comma, inordinate affection. Pray tell, what's that? Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Big word. Evil concupiscence. Hey, just cause I can't have sake and concupiscence, that don't mean I'm going to get rid of my King James Bible right there. I'm staying with it. Evil concupiscence and covetousness. Gotta go. Get rid of it. Which is idolatry. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as I read these five verses. It's a different night. Camp meeting. It's a different text. Camp meeting. It's from a different part of Colossians in the camp meeting tonight. It's going to be a different kind of meal than we've had all week long. Somebody's going to have to help me now. Y'all don't eat the same thing for supper every night, do you? Of course not. Your wife varies your menu. She'll serve you something one night, and then, oh, I'm not against leftovers, but in the way, you don't eat the same thing for supper. I'm going to tell you something about the Bible. I hope I get an amen. It's a buffet. It's a buffet. The psalmist said, Psalm 119, talking about God's word, said it's exceedingly broad. It's exceedingly broad. What if I told you it's got some milk in it? Well, y'all are wondering about it. Simon Peter said so. Said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may. But oh, I think it's not only got some milk, I believe there's some bread in there. You say, what kind of bread would it be? Well, it's the bread of life, and it came down from heaven. It's Jesus. That's who it is. I believe I'm safe. Y'all help me. I believe there's some meat in there too. Some of them couldn't eat the meat, and Paul's a little bit said, boy, I like to chow down on some meat every now and then. Got to thinking about that one day, the sufficiency of the Word of God. And then I thought, well, wouldn't it be something if it had some dessert? And I thought, and I pondered, and I said, oh, you can't find. Found it in Psalm 19. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Thank God. You know what that man tasted like? Wafers with honey, says our Bible. It's got some dessert in it too. The sufficiency of the Word of God. I can't get in my text. I can't get started. I don't know what's wrong with me. We have shifted. Colossians has four chapters. Y'all know it as good as anybody. You've been reading it all week. Paul always does this. Some of these preachers can tell it better than me. Paul usually divides his epistles into halves. Into halves. Let's see, four chapters. I reckon the first half would be chapters 1 and 2. And the last half would be chapters 3 and 4. And we're reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We just shifted into the last half of Colossians. What in the world's that got to do with anything? Brother Bagwell, you're a long-winded little fella. Get started. What are you talking about? Oh, listen. Boy, I'm glad I didn't hear no amens when I said that long-winded. Paul always begins his epistles, get this word, with doctrine. Doctrine. What in the world is doctrine? That's telling us what to believe. Oh my, have you heard? Doctrine has fell into disrepute in our day and time. I heard a pastor the other day, a pastor. He said, come on over to our place. Said, you'll never hear Bible doctrine preached. He said, we don't emphasize doctrine. He was of the opinion that doctrine was divisive. It would divide you. He said, we don't emphasize doctrine. Said, we do everything, and I hope you'll get this, on love over where we are. We don't care what you believe. You just come and we're going to love you real good. I want you to hear me. Hope I get an amen. It does matter what you believe. It does matter. Right or wrong, somebody help me. You'll go to heaven or hell based on what you believe about the Son of God. It matters what you believe. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be unkind. Plus, I don't even know the churches in the Gaffney area. But I'll tell you this. I ain't going with that crowd that don't preach Bible doctrine. I don't want nothing to do with that. Paul's a doctrine preacher. And that's what's in Colossians 1 and Colossians 2. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. First half of Colossians. But we're just starting the second half tonight. Last service I realized, but we're now in the second half. What's the second half? Listen. Doctrine, then duty. All right, I'm not explaining that well. Doctrine and then duty. How am I going to do it? I might have what to believe and then how to behave. Doctrine, duty. What to believe and how to behave. Will anybody amen this? If you don't believe right, you ain't going to behave right. But if you do believe right, if you got, it'll have a lot to do with how you behave, bless you. I said something the other day, and I got called on the carpet. He was a very intelligent man. I got in trouble with him. I'm this old ignorant South Carolina boy raised in Greenville County around Malden. And that's home to me. And I went off to school. And I stood up there and I said, I ain't real smart, but I said, I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. Oh, that tore him up. He let me know after the service I did not know where I came from. That the most brilliant minds in science have not yet figured out the origin of the species. And he said, and you sure don't know where you're going. He said, nobody knows where you're going. Said, this thing might end up in nothing. Listen to me. I ain't changed my mind. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You say, Brother Bagwell, where'd you come from? I can give it to you in one verse. In the beginning, God created. That's where I come from, and I believe it. You don't know where you're going. Oh, I do know where I'm going. Thank God when you hear Brother Bagwell's heart is quit, when you hear my life here is ended, here's the story. Absent from the body, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. Know where I come from and I know where I'm going. I believe it. I believe it based on the Word of God. But the crowd today, they don't know where they came from. Do you know what they're being taught in the university? They're being taught there's no God. There was no Eden. There was no miraculous act of creation. They're being taught that we evolved from some lower life form.
Yeah.
That we came from an intermediary going back, some kind of a monkey or a baboon. But further back than that, ultimately, a tadpole in a swamp somewhere. Yeah. See if I get an amen. That crowd ain't believing right. If you don't believe right about where you came from, ain't no telling how you'll act. If you believe you're an animal, if you believe you're an animal, you'll end up acting like an animal. And doesn't that pretty well describe America tonight? I'm not even running yet, son. I can't get into my text. Doctrine, then duty. We're starting the duty section. Belief, and then behavior. We're starting the behavior section tonight. Hope I get an amen. I want to behave right. I want to live right to the glory of God. Verse 1. I laid that timer somewhere. Don't tell nobody. But 17 minutes and 55 seconds. Are y'all ready to get started? Amen. Take that with a grain of salt. If, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. If ye then, in Greek, that little if is a, looks little, but it's a major word. Based on the grammar, Greek has four conditional ifs. This one happens to be a first class condition. What in the world does that mean? It means this. You'll get it, I think. If, and it's true. They've got one, if, and it ain't true. They've got one, if, and it may be true, and it may not be true. This is a first class condition. If ye then be risen with Christ, get me an amen. Thank God, it's true. I have been risen with Christ. Anybody here believe Jesus is alive tonight? If he's alive tonight and you are in him, if any man be in Christ, you are alive too. Hallelujah. If ye then be risen with Christ. More is going to come up about that. If ye then be risen with Christ. It is positional. Preacher Bagwell, if ye then be risen with Christ, the preposition, it's implied by the dative case of Christ. It means this. I'm alive, hope I get an amen, because he's alive. I'm not in the grave. I'm not in a bunch of filth and garbage now. Thank God, because he conquered death and hell and the grave. I am risen with Christ tonight. Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Bagwell, are you going to heaven? And it's you going to heaven? Yep, I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? Been washed in the blood, been saved, names written down in glory. But listen, in Paul's eyes, I'm not just going to heaven. I'm already there. Whoa. You can't be already there. We're looking at you. It is in grammar, it's called the historic present. The historic present. The day I got saved, I was raised in newness of life. I was raised in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was, get me an amen, I was born again. And Paul said, at that moment, you are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not a matter of me making it. It's not a matter of me going there. In the eyes of Jesus, I'm washed in the blood. In the eyes of Jesus, it's a sure thing. Thank God, I'm already there. Historic. Present tense. I love it. Let's go further, because there are five verses looking at us. If ye then be risen with Christ, and we say we are, seek those things which are above. Seek the verb seek. It's zeteo. It is spelled Z-E-T-E-O. Zeteo. What in the world does it mean? It's the idea, of course, of diligently looking. It's the idea of searching. It's the idea of hungering and inquiring. It goes this far. It's translated to demand in our King James Bible. This verse, it's something you gotta have. You won't take no for an answer. You're absolutely observed. Seek those things which are above.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said this to D.L. Moody one day, and it was a big saying years and years ago. Hadn't heard it in a long time. Said, that fella is so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. That's what they said in the movie. Said, that fellow's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. D.L. Moody said, I've never seen anybody like that. D.L. Moody was of this opinion. Some of y'all will be, more heavenly minded a fellow can get, the more earthly good he will do. Makes sense to me. Seek those things. Now, he did not say seek those people that are above. And I wouldn't argue or debate with that. Seek those things. It's neuter. Seek those things which are above. I'd like to know what it is above that I'm supposed to be seeking. Well, let me just throw out some ideas because I can't spend long here. It wouldn't surprise me. We ought to get a little more interested in the mercy seat than we are. That wasn't a good amen. Right, forget I said that about the mercy seat. There's something sprinkled on the mercy seat. There's something that's been spilled out and it's on the mercy seat. I'd like to know what that is. Let me spell it for you. Capital B, capital L, capital double O, capital D. The blood, the blood. We might ought to get more interested in the blood up there. I believe I can prove this. Let me tell you something that's going on in heaven right now. Right now. And I believe I can prove it from Revelation chapter 4. There's a worship service going on in heaven this very minute. I sure like to know what you're talking about. Oh, there's a throne and there's a rainbow around the throne. It's not Roy G. Biv colors, red. Oh no, this rainbow is like an emerald. This rainbow is green. Who ever heard of a green rainbow? And the rainbow don't go halfway around the throne. It goes all the way. So it said all the way around. You mean John saw it. He said, oh my, there's the throne of God. He said, look at that around the throne. There's a rainbow. It's green. Goes all the way. Preacher, I'm not getting that. Green in the Bible is the color of life. L-I-F-E, life. When you get to glory, I got some good news for you. You already got it, but you are really going to enjoy. And what kind of life? All the way around the throne? That's unending life. That's never concluding life. Hey, thank God, we might ought to get interested in that green rainbow around the throne. I'll enjoy everlasting life. Hallelujah to His goodness.
Amen.
Time would fail me. Seek hunger for those things that are above. Sang a good bit tonight about heaven, about glory, about some. My wife was in the same church for 40 years. Little church in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. The precious pastor who had served it nearly 40 years went home to be with the Lord 2 or 3 years ago. Herschel Hicks, my name. His wife, his widow tonight, is on the verge of crossing over. Hospice has told the family it is a matter of days. It's not weeks or months. She's going to go to glory. I guarantee you she's seeking some things that are above tonight. Say I'll detour. I can't do this. Wonder what Miss Linda will say when she gets to heaven. It's what I'm trying to preach. She'll see the throne. She'll see the throne. She'll see that rainbow around the throne. And she'll begin to hear some noise. And they're four living creatures. And they're on their knees worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Jesus the Lamb. Revelation chapter 5. There's something else she's going to see. There are 24 elders. I think they might represent the 12 Old Testament patriarchs and the 12 New Testament apostles. And guess what they're doing? They're loving Him. They're worshiping Him. They're magnifying Him. And just give you a seek those things that are above. Here's a little something they might be saying. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To give Him honor and glory and praise. Y'all getting what I'm seeking? Those things that are above. Hallelujah. Ye then be risen with Christ and we are. Seek those things which are above. Oh boy. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It don't look like we're going to make verse 5. What would attract me? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of Almighty God. Yeah, that's what it says. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Fellas, this scripture will bear this out. Early in our Lord's life, He is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Mary gave birth to her firstborn. Jesus will be His name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But after the death, burial, and resurrection, He is not often called just Jesus. He becomes Lord Jesus. And then He becomes just exactly what Paul said here, for Christ sitteth. And He's not Jesus anymore. Oh, He's still the same one. He's still our Savior. He's still the resurrected. But He is now Christ. Christ. You know what Christ means? Christos. It means the anointed one of God. It means the Messiah. I'll tell you what it means. Get me a name. He is our everything. Seek those things where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. I can't preach it. I wouldn't have. I did. I was worried. I thought, I won't have enough tonight. These verses, they're not as, you don't have the word pictures. Last night, and I was so worried, and now the Holy Ghost has loaded me down, and I hardly know which way to go. Time out. I want to say something for the benefit of the men of God. A lot of them are here. Get you a good definition of preaching. Use it to encourage you and to motivate you. I enjoy studying them. I can't go into any detail. But Dr. Wearsby, I mentioned Dr. Wearsby one night and a fella bawled me out. He said, he ain't in our camp. I just want to say something. I'm a blood-washed Bible believer. I really have no idea what camp I'm in. I'm not with a certain circle. I don't run with a clique of boys. I'm in the Jesus camp. Hallelujah. He's not in our camp. My soul. Here's Dr. Wearsby's definition of preaching. And I brought it up because I can do it in one word. Did it, men of God. Overflow. Overflow. That ain't making a lick of sense to me. You get along with God Monday and Tuesday. Preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You get in that book. You let the Word of God flood your soul. And God begins to give you... It's like every preacher's got a crock pot. He's got a slow cooker. And he throws a little something in it Monday. Throws a little more in it Tuesday. And it's simmering. And it's a brewing. And then he prays himself hot. He prays himself full. He's got his mind right. He's got his heart right. He's a loving to pay. And then he goes to that pulpit absolutely filled with the things of God. I'll need an amen. And he just spills it out. He just overflows it all over the place. That's what preaching is. To me, for you. Where Brother Joe is this morning. To me, for you. God, fill me up. God, let me. I'm rejoicing. I'm worshiping Him. God's got me so full. God's running me over. All I'm doing is spilling all over the rest of you. Come on in. The water's fine. Oh, where Christ sitteth. At the right hand of Christ, Christos, that's Jesus. But here is Christ, He's the Messiah. Oh, I have to ask this. Could I convince anybody here He's not just Christ, but that Jesus is a priest? I don't hear as good as I used to. I'm getting these amens right here. But I'm not getting them back there. Probably my ears, I'm thinking. I'm going to go further with that. Jesus is not just a priest. Don't help me. He's a high priest. I'm going to add one more adjective. He's the great high priest. And where is our high priest right now? He ain't down here. Tomb's empty. He went to glory. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. I'm sitting there with him too. Paul said in Ephesians. Look at that posture. He is sitting at the right hand of God. Preacher, would you bring me that metal chair right there? And it may be guarding that junction box, but we can put it back in just a moment. What's Jesus doing? Sitting. The Greek there employs the verb to be plus the verb that said he's sitting. Very strong rendering at the Father's right hand. Now you listen to me. When in the world have you ever seen a priest on duty sitting? Think it over. Let me save you some time. You have never in all the Bible seen an on-duty priest sitting. Can't do it. Oh, I guess I better ask this and see if you'll agree. Anybody believe Jesus is on duty as our great high priest? He didn't go to glory and quit. He didn't go to glory and retire. He's on duty. Hallelujah. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Preacher, I'd like to know why Aaron could never sit down. I'd like to know why his sons could never. I'll tell you why they could never sit down. There's always more sin to be atoned. There's always more blood that's got to be shed. Them boys can't sit down. But the first thing my high priest, when he got to heaven, the Father looked over at him and said, "Son, why don't you sit a spell? Why don't you sit, just sit down right here for a while? Why don't you take it easy if you will?" Brother Bagwell, why can Jesus, my high priest, say, hope I get it, ain't no more blood to be shed. Hallelujah. You know why he's sitting? There's no more sin that has to be. Jesus paid it all. Glory, glory, glory to his good name. Amen. Amen. Sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Did it start raining or are you just getting in a little closer, brother? Sitting at the right hand of God. I don't know why I thought I could preach five verses. Sitting at the right hand of God. And what does the right hand mean? Always. Always. I got a secondary thought. But always, the right hand means power and strength in the Old Testament. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. I'm going to go further. Y'all help me. Listen. I believe Jesus is not only at the Father's right hand. Hope I get an amen too. I'd be happy to get to. He is the Father's right hand. Well, I ain't never heard that. Well, you can't prove he is the Father's right hand. I can't. Wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't prove it. Isaiah 53, one of the greatest Jesus chapters in the book. Sort of begins on a negative note. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah, we're going to tell them, but ain't nobody going to believe it. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom is the arm of... I'm fixing to prove who the arm of the Lord is. Well, you can't prove it from that verse. The rest of the chapter, from verse 2 to verse 12, get me an amen, is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know who the arm of the Lord is? That's my Savior. That's the Lord. He's not only at the Father's right hand, He is the Father's right hand. I don't know if I'm convincing some of you or not. I'm having a good time trying. I submit to you, God the Father has never done anything of major, powerful significance without using His right hand to get it done. Need an amen? Without using Jesus to get it done. Son, there's a lost world. Need somebody to go down Calvary and say, that's a job for God's right hand. Amen. Son, time to go get them. Bring my children home. You must, the Lord Himself. That's a job for the right hand of God. He's sitting in the right hand of God. Verse 2. Y'all okay? Verse 2. Can't believe it. 38 minutes and 26 seconds into this sermon. Nearly half over. Smile, please, if you would. Well over. Two-thirds, nearly. Done. You say, how do you know? Somebody got on to me last night for this, and I appreciate it. And it was done in love. He said, throw that timer away. Just preach and preach and preach. There's always one who'll say that. But you all, I see up here, I can tell you, you ought to see the dirty looks they get from the other crowd. It will be done. About 21, 22 minutes on purpose. Because I want to quit preaching right before you quit listening. America is losing her ability to hear the Word of God. We become a video society and we're no longer an audio society. But my Bible still says faith cometh. How did that go? Faith cometh by seeing. That's not what it said. Faith cometh. Help me out. Faith cometh by
hearing.
Hearing by the Word of God. And you are hearing well tonight. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of on the earth. Set your effect. Says the same thing, but uses a different verb to say it. Phroneo. Put your heart on things above. Make your love directed toward things above. That's why it's set your affection on things above. Keep your mind and your where Christ is setting it to. Hey, the greatest object of our interest, will I get an amen, is in heaven at the Father's right hand. Our concern, our focus ought to be right there with Him. Verse 3, I ought to say more, but verse 3, for you're dead. You're dead. That's an aorist tense verb. That's the best the Greek can do to put past tense, acts incomplete. For you're dead. Did I read it right? Yeah. Ye are dead. Ye are dead. Preacher, I'm not dead. The day you got saved. Now, I'm not talking about eradication of the old sin nature. That's not where I'm going. Hope I get an amen here. The day you got saved, you died in Christ. Romans 6 comes to mind where Paul elaborates. When you got baptized, how many of y'all believe that after we're saved, we ought to follow the Lord in water baptism?
Amen.
Says Baptist, camp meeting out there. We believe in baptism, need an amen, by immersion.
Amen.
All baptism, say if you'll amen, the baptism don't save you. Baptism don't help save you. Baptism don't keep you saved. Baptism, it is rather an act of obedience after you got saved. Baptism is a public picture of what happened when you got saved. Let me show you. You go into that baptistry. Do you know what the old timers used to call that water, baptistry? When I was a little fella, they called it the watery grave. That scared me. I think I probably disobeyed the Lord another year or two on the watery grave. I ain't going in there. Watery grave. Why would they call it the watery grave? That's what it pictures. You go into that baptistry. You're saying to your friends who have come, members of that, I am dead to what I used to be. Anybody want to amen this? If Jesus comes in, there are some things going out. Dead to what I used to be. Then the preacher plunges you under the watery grave. Dead, buried, buried with Christ. Aren't y'all glad Jesus didn't stay in the grave? Boy, I'm glad they didn't put me under the water and then get to doubting the resurrection. I'm glad they didn't put me under the water and then, oh no, they put me death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Dead in Christ, buried with Him, need an amen, raised to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. You're dead. You're dead. Paul wrote it, hard to understand. I don't know. I still yet got a grasp of it. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Could have been the dangers he was in, David, but it could mean, oh, every day I realize I'm dead in Jesus. Every day I realize my life is hid with Christ in God. Any dead people, any at once dead people who've been buried and now you're alive in Jesus. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's about to get doctrinal here. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Sound like a good place to be to me. My life is dead, buried, but I got new life. I've been resurrected. Your life is hid with Christ. You're telling me I'm in Christ? Let me look again. In God. I'm in Christ. Christ is in God. I'm going to make an announcement. Glory to God. Ain't no way the devil can get to me. Ain't no way he can rob me of my salvation. There's no way on earth. Ain't God. You looking at an old boy. Hope I get an amen. You looking at an old boy who's hell proof tonight. I said that in a revival meeting one night. A lady, good lady, and I'm not trying to put her down. She said, that's the most arrogant thing I've ever heard a preacher say in all my life, that you're hell proof. I'll say this. If I go to hell, the devil's got to get God in hell. He's got to get Jesus in hell, because I am in Jesus, in God, and that, terrible grammar, that ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Is hid. Crupto. It's a verb that means secreted away. In the palm of His hand. Your life is hid. I hadn't mentioned this all week, but this is a verb where I can. It's in the perfect tense. My life is hid with Christ in God. Pray tell, what does the perfect tense mean? Listen. It's something that happened in the past. It's done. It's over with. My life was hid with Christ in God, but the perfect tense has this particular significance. It happened in the past. Hope I get an amen. But it's still with me. It happened in the past, but I'm as hid today as I was yesterday. I'm as hid today as I was the day He saved me. Thank God, thank God. I am hid in my Savior. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Need an amen. What a place to be. Hallelujah. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, verse 4. Verse 4. I got 13 minutes, y'all. Pray for me. I can hear somebody now. Lord, don't let that timer break. Truth. And I don't know how I did it. One night I was preaching and I had my timer up at the pulpit. And my hand brushed it. I'm telling you the truth. It started going backwards. It did. I wish I knew that code right now.
Amen.
48 minutes into the sermon. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life? When Christ, who is our life? I want y'all to look at your King James Bible, sir. When Christ, who is our life? I'm going to say this. It's an easy amen. It shouldn't probably have to be said. I love my King James Bible. Its translators were honest men. And there wasn't no rank sinners in the crowd neither. Look at the words, who is, in verse 4. Look at them. Who is? Somebody tell me about the words, who is. That's what I needed to hear. They are, y'all see it's thinner type and it's leaning forward. Who is? That means that the King James translators, and they tell you, they're honest, put those words there, though the verb did not exist in the Textus Receptus, to make it clear for our understanding. And I'm glad they're there. And ain't nothing wrong with them being there. But it says, the way Paul wrote it, when Christ, who is, it's been added for our edification, when Christ, our life, shall appear. Paul said it. For me to live, help me out, I'm in a hurry. For me to live is
Christ.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Somebody asked me this week, I said, Brother Bagwell, how old are you? I was born in 46. Do the math. Born in 1946. And they said, why, you're that age and you stood on that chair the other night. Oh, that's not Brother Bagwell. Brother Bagwell's a recluse. I'm an introvert. I'd much rather ask my wife. I'd rather be in a corner with some books and reading and studying. That's just my nature. Somebody said, well, you sure came out of your shell, Brother Bagwell, I'll tell you. No, it's not Brother Bagwell. It's got nothing to do with Brother Bagwell. Could I say this, and I'm saying it to His glory? He is my life. He is my life. He is my joy. He is my energy. He is my motivator. He is, thank God you said it all, He is my everything. Our sufficiency is of when Christ, now some of you got a sour look on your face. And it may be because I mentioned who is. Get over it. Get over it. You'll never hear me preach from anything but the King James Bible. You'll never hear me criticize or correct the King James Bible. It ain't got nothing to be corrected of. But I'm telling you what, if I magnify the Lord and say not only He is my life, Christ, life, Christ, life. That's what it says. Christ, life. If you got life tonight, if you got real life tonight, you got Jesus. You got Christ. Anyway, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh boy. That verb shall appear. It's phanetero. It's a beautiful verb. It means something like this. Watch my hand, watch my fingers. Here shall appear. Boom! A burst of brilliant light. Boom! That light is gloriously manifested. When Christ, who is our life, somebody smile, shall, boom, appear. Anybody believe we're going to see that glory one of these days? Now, I'm not talking about the rapture here. The rapture, he's coming like a thief in the night. He's coming to gather his jewels. It'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I wouldn't be surprised the world will deny that it ever happened. They'll try to explain it away in some manner or another. But oh, will I get an amen? He is coming again. At the rapture, he's coming in the air. There's a day he's going to ride that white horse out of glory. His feet are going to stand on top of the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Coming. Are y'all with me tonight? Coming back to this earth. He shall boom appear. Preacher, I'm not sure. John wrote it. I can't stay on it. I got another verse on it. And every eye shall see him. Every eye doesn't see him at the rapture. But when he comes back again, every eye shall see him. Not only will every eye see him, y'all just help me out a little bit. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, more ought to be said, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Could I get some smiles? 6 minutes. Now, can I get some smiles? We shall appear with him in glory. Brother Bagwell, what happens to your old body when you die? Oh, it'll no longer breathe. Blood's no longer flowing. They'll prepare it for burial, put it in a casket, dig a hole in the ground, lower me down there, cover me up. It is a, Paul's words, vile. V-I-L-E body. But when Christ, who is our life, will boom, appear in all that glorious light, we shall boom, appear with him. How in the world are we going to do that? I think I got it figured out. We're coming back to earth. Them graves are going to pop open. The dead, oh my, am I right? Are y'all with me? My dead body is going to be changed. It's going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm going to get a glorified, y'all aren't getting it. Boom, boom. I'm going to get a glorified body. I'm going to get a body like his body. I'm going to get a body, thank God, like my Savior's body. We're going to appear with him. We're going to appear with him in glory. I've always wanted to say this. And we're going to live happily ever after. Hallelujah. Are y'all okay? Verse 5. I got 4 minutes to preach it. Mortify. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're getting down to the behavior part. We're not going to discuss our duty. Mortify. Mortify. Interesting verb. I'm not going to deal with the Greek here. Let's just use the English. Mortify. English verbs that end in F-Y have a Latin background. F-Y is faceo, F-A-C-I-O in Latin, and it means to do or to make. So mortify means to do or to make something. Now we've got to figure out what mortify. I'm going to give you a hint. Mortify. Morta. Mortician.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I don't think all of you got it. Mortuary.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul. Y'all are smarter than you're acting right now. Rigor mortis.
Amen.
Dead. Stinking dead. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. I'm saved. I'm risen with Christ at the right hand of God, and I am being told to mortify, to put to death. To put to death. Will I get an amen? Though you're saved, you're still living in the same old body you've had all your life. Now this is going to come as a shock. If you had a temper when you was lost, you might still have a little bit of temper now that you're saved. If your tongue could get loose when you were a sinner, just saying that it might be different vocabulary, but you'll have a propensity to talk a lot now that you're saved. That old sin nature is still here. Put it to death. But now we'll never eradicate, granted, the old sin nature. That mortify, that carries the idea of a sword. That carries the idea of hacking something to pieces. That has got the idea of tearing it up. That has the idea of mortify. Kill it. Kill it. What in the world does Paul say? I need to kill. And by the way, that is an active voice verb. Oh, Holy Ghost, I got a bad temper. Would you come down here and swat it upside the head? God says, not my department. Get your sword. Anybody believe we do have a sword? Get your sword and you start whooping and axing. You start chopping and you take care of that temper and you bring it under the control of the Holy Ghost of God. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, I can't preach it. I'm out of time. But, I want to say this. I feel convicted now. I just stopped my timer.
Go ahead.
Because I'm done. But I got to mention these next few. Can y'all stay with me 2 or 3 more minutes? Fornication. The word is porneia. It comes from porne. Can't preach it in detail. Wrong sexual relationships.
Amen.
Wrong sexual relationships. Mortify it. Mortify it. We are born this way. Our bodies rule supremely. That's the way we've lived all our lost years.
Yep.
Then the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, moves in. Yep. And there's war between the flesh, my body, and the Spirit. Somebody asked Harry Ironside one day, which one wins, the flesh or the Spirit? This is what he said. See if you get it. The one I say sick 'em to.
Yeah.
The one I say, it's up to you, the one you feed. We need to come to the place the Spirit is dominant and the body is subordinate. And we're not there when we're first saved. Kill those sensual, sexual propensities. They have no place needed in the life of a believer. I'm going to say this. That probably will involve what we watch on television. That would certainly involve what kind of movies entertain us. It'd probably involve what kind of literature we read. I'm losing you in a hurry. I don't know if it's the time or the topic. Mortify fornication. I can't preach it out. Uncleanness. any kind of dirt, any kind of defilement in your life, sweep it out. Cleanse it. How would I cleanse it? Here it is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Get rid of it. You say, I don't know what's dirty. I don't know what's unclean. Ask the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Spirit, show me anything in my life that does not bring honor and glory to Thee. He'll do a good job.
Amen.
Some of you men, and I appreciate the way you're looking. You say, I don't know about asking the Holy Ghost. Ask your wife. Ask your wife. She'll help you with that issue. Some things that need to go in our life. Inordinate defects and evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is on and on the list goes. Here's the issue, and I'm done. I've been saved. I've been raised with Jesus. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. I'm right there with Him right now. And because of that, I'm to live a life. I'm to behave like I believe. I'm to perform my duty as I have been taught Bible doctrine. Clean up. Let the Holy Ghost be your guide. And try to live. Get me an amen. A pure, holy life to the glory of God. It's different. Totally different part of the book. Not just what I believe, but how I act. How I act as a result of my belief. You sure have listened very, very well. It's an honor for me to be here trying to share these verses with you. I just want to look at the devil and go, he's a liar. He told me you wouldn't like it. He told me you wouldn't say amen. He told me you wouldn't. Boy, you've proved him wrong. And I praise God for it. Let's stand across the building. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our musician will play. There's an altar down front. Lord, clean me up. Lord, purify me. Help me to mortify. Help me to chop it to pieces with the Word of God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, bitterness, unforgiveness. Anybody glad you've been raised with the Lord Jesus tonight? Anybody glad he could go home to heaven and sit down? Oh, the blood's been shed. Died for the sins of the whole world, we're told. Hallelujah.